This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're going to stay with politics, turning our focus now more to the national picture, but we do want to begin still here in Illinois and acknowledge there was a protest Wednesday outside the Illinois State Capitol building in Springfield. Jade Aubrey was there covering it. She's a reporting intern at Capitol News Illinois. Again, this protest was Wednesday. I spoke with Jade about it Thursday afternoon. Jade, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me.
So take me through what you saw. What was it like out there?
Yeah, so the protesters gathered outside of the Capitol around noon. I actually went out to see about 11 if anybody was out there, and there was no one. And when I showed up at 12:30, there was hundreds. I don't know where they came from, but there was lots of people outside. They were all holding signs. There was multiple microphones. They were doing several chants, and everybody was very fired up.
What was it about? What were they chanting about?
They were protesting President Donald Trump's administration, Elon Musk, and recent developments with the federal government and the DEI. They had a list of requests that they wanted Trump to be impeached, Musk to be investigated, Trump's appointments to be investigated, DEI frameworks reinstated. So they were out there talking about that.
I know crowd size estimates can be a tricky thing, and some outlets aren't even doing it. How would you guess if you had to, or was there any sort of official estimate from state authorities or anything like that as to the number of people?
Not that I've seen, but I would say between 1 and 300.
Okay, so not in a massive
in a range.
Yeah, but
a good number. But it was a good amount of people.
Sure. And this was part of a national movement, I understand. I'm on a Slack group with other NPR state house types from across the country, and people were showing up at capitals all around the country. How did this come together?
Yeah, so this was part of a national, what they were calling a 50-51 movement. It was calling for 50 protests in 50 states in one day, and that date was yesterday. It was organized by a grassroots movement. There was the whole point of it was that there was no sole organizer, and that people from different communities around the country could just start a protest in front of a state capitol that day. So we were one of multiple protests that happened nationwide.
When you talk to people, were they frustrated with sort of lack of action? I mean, I've seen a lot on social media, people saying like, why aren't people doing something about this? Although it's never actually clear what exactly they want people to do in some cases, but.
Yeah. The whole point of one of the questions I asked one of the protesters was, why are we out here? What are we trying to accomplish? And they just said that they wanted to make sure their voices were heard, and that, you know, they were worried citizens who didn't feel like their voices were being heard and that nothing was happening. And so this was kind of their way of getting out there and being active.
And do you anticipate, or did they say anything about more activity like this to come in the future?
Yeah, they said if their demands weren't met, they'd come back out and do more protests. So I don't know if that's going to be organized locally or if that's an organization that might happen at the 50-51 movement, like as a whole level. But they did say that they'd be back out there if it didn't happen. And President Trump has not been impeached, so we'll see what happens.
Jade Aubrey with Capitol News Illinois. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are looking back at the week that was in politics. As we just heard, people have been protesting across the country, not just Trump's policies, but the actions the people working with him are taking. We actually have a little bit of audio from that Springfield protest, courtesy Illinois Public Radio Statehouse reporter Alex Degman. This is Heather Kent, who came to the protest from Quincy with her mom.
These are dangerous times, and I need them to take it seriously. Don't just say that he's committed a crime, arrest him. If Elon Musk committed a crime, he should be arrested like any of us would be.
With me now to talk about just what's been happening in Washington is Illinois Public Media's correspondent there, Linda Kenyon. Because things are changing fast in this news cycle, I should note that in order to make our schedules meet, I spoke with Linda Thursday evening. Linda, how are you?
Pretty much like everybody else who's trying to keep up with things here in Washington, exhausted.
Yes, the zone is being flooded by the hour. So it's been another week of story after story. We started with the threat of tariffs on Canada, Mexico, and China. The China tariffs did take effect. Those have been causing problems for people trying to get packages from there. Canada and Mexico's tariffs have been pushed back for 30 days, although that episode is obviously put a strain on our relations with our neighbors. How was the tariff chaos feeling in Washington?
Well, there is a lot of confusion. President Trump still feels that tariffs are the way to go to correct a trade imbalance, but he speaks more about correcting the problem of illegal fentanyl coming into the country, specifically from Canada, Mexico, and China. The 10% tariffs on the Chinese imports, as you mentioned, are going into effect, and China is not happy about it, talking about imposing tariffs on American products. But the main question is, what will it do to the economy here in the U.S.? And the president has said that there will be some temporary short-term disruption and that people will understand that. However, the people who actually do pay the tariffs, according to economists, are those who are the end users, the consumers, you and I. So while an importer will initially pay the tariff, another company will eventually take over what the importer has imported and then pass that on to the end user, the consumer, who fits most of the cost. So Americans may not like what they're seeing once those tariffs start to take effect.
Well, we will certainly continue to follow that story in the weeks ahead. I know there are a lot of Illinois businesses that could be very much affected, and obviously consumers here in Illinois. Let's talk about what's been happening across the federal government bureaucracy with Trump and his collaborator, I guess. I don't know what the right term is. Billionaire businessman Elon Musk. The administration has tried to offer a deferred resignation to a lot of federal employees. There are some serious questions about its legality and, you know, whether the workers would actually get what they've been promised. Musk did not follow through. He's at least still fighting in court some of the severance packages he offered to people at Twitter when he took over there. What do we know about this? What's the status of this?
Well, what we know is that the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, is not actually a government department, because government departments have to be sanctioned by Congress, created by Congress, and if they're done away with by Congress. And so Elon Musk has no official government position. However, the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, is, if you will, a task force. And the task force has been wielding tremendous power in terms of cutting government spending, and their constitutional questions exist with that. But one of the ways of cutting the government spending is by getting federal workers to leave. So he has offered buyouts of federal workers, saying that they will be paid through September if they agree to leave. And here's one of the biggest issues, though. The federal government right now is only funded through March. So how can the promise to fund through September those who take the buyouts have a leg to stand on? That's what a lot of critics are saying right now. And, you know, here where I am in Washington, D.C., the federal workforce is paramount to the economy in the tri-state area, the DMV, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And a lot of federal workers say that if they don't take this buyout, they're going to be fired. And then they get no guarantees. And the White House is still doubling down on getting federal workers to leave as a way of cutting government spending. Right now, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt says that some 40,000 federal workers have already taken up the offer to take the buyout, and that more could come. The deadline was supposed to be on Thursday. The deadline has been extended for at least until Monday, because a federal judge has weighed in saying that there's going to have to be some hearings on the legality of this process altogether.
And it's not just these supposed buyouts that Musk has been doing. He has a team of people who have been just showing up at different agencies, taking over computer systems. There's one at Treasury that apparently is, you know, something that most people, I would wager, have never heard of, because it's just sort of like a money processing wing within the government. But it's usually tightly controlled. It's the actual people who like cut the checks or do the direct deposits. And he's sort of gained control of that. He, boasted on Twitter about feeding USAID into the wood chipper, his phrase. This is our, foreign relations that goes around the world, providing food to impoverished countries and fighting disease and monitoring diseases. And again, I just want to emphasize, is it clear where his legal authority is to be doing all this stuff?
It is not clear. It is not clear at all. And this is why there are a lot of constitutional issues that have been raised. There is a separation of powers. Congress has the power of the purse, not the executive branch. And the executive branch isn't even doing this. It's some ancillary task force with a civilian running it who is in the name of Elon Musk. And this cost-cutting panel you refer to is called the Bureau of Fiscal Service. That's responsible for processing all federal payments and processing all federal revenue. And the situation right now being led by Elon Musk is populated by a number of very young DOGE employees, Department of Government Efficiency, 25-year-olds, et cetera. And they have enormous access to the Treasury computer systems. Now, a lawsuit has been filed by several government unions against this. Lawsuits will simply slow down the process, but it's unclear as to how much is going to go forward in the meantime. And the White House had to clarify that this fleet of young people working for Elon Musk has no security clearance and also cannot change code in the computers, basically is read-only, so they can't change any payment amounts, for example, but they can certainly eyeball all of this and come after it with the red pen.
Yeah, as we saw, they went after Lutheran Social Services, which is a charity organization that, among other things, runs, you know, sort of senior care centers. But they also do work for immigrants. And apparently that's one of the things that drew Musk's ire in the past week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And as you know, the number one campaign promise that Donald Trump had made was to crack down on illegal immigration. And that has been going with quite aggressive actions around the country, cracking down on not only those who are in this country illegally who have committed crimes, but others. As the head of this operation, the so-called border czar, Tom Homan, has said to us here at the White House, if you are in this country illegally, you have committed a crime and you are fair game.
You know, people can debate about, you know, what government spending should be, what are the appropriate levels, where is money best spent, should it be on these overseas programs, should it be domestically, should it be in the form of tax cuts? But those things are supposed to be bills that go through Congress, not decisions made by one individual who may have the, you know, president's read-in on all this stuff, although even that is, I don't know how clear that is. This message out of the protest, people want something to be done to. They want to know that something is being done to address this, you know, apparent act of illegality. What are you hearing from people on the Hill, Democrats especially, who, I guess we should note, don't really have any power right now in either the House or the Senate?
Well, there's a lot of Democrats who are speaking out against it. A lot of Republicans are saying quietly that they have some concerns, but are not willing to take on the president with direct rhetoric and full force condemnation. But they have to realize that this threatens their power, that giving away the power of the purse, which is constitutionally subscribed, is inscribed, I should say, is not what the founders intended. And it is, in fact, unconstitutional and will lead to legal troubles. Nonetheless, Donald Trump believes that he has a mandate. After all, he was elected by more than 50% of the country, and he does have control of not just the executive branch, but the legislative branch of government, because Republicans are in control as the majority party in the House and in the Senate. And a question that was asked of him earlier this week, does he feel that if there are challenges made to many of his policies, for example, his Gaza announcement, or to the federal government spending, he said he'll appeal any setbacks all the way to the Supreme Court. When asked if he felt that the Supreme Court would rule in his favor, he said, yes, I have five justices on the court.
Well, whether he has those justices or not, we know that his vice president in an interview some years ago advised just ignoring the court if it opposed what the administration wanted to do. So we'll see where that goes. You mentioned Gaza. We've got about 2 minutes left. I do want to touch on that briefly, and we have a little tape of some of his remarks earlier this week.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it. We have an opportunity to do something that could be phenomenal. And I don't want to be cute. I don't want to be a wise guy. But the Riviera of the Middle East, this could be something that could be so bad. This could be so magnificent.
Okay, the U.S. Trying to reshape politics and nation build in the Middle East. I'm trying to think if there's any recent examples of how that's gone for us. Linda, what has been the reception to this in D.C.?
Well, again, Republicans are quietly speaking out against it. Their main concern, while Democrats are speaking out against it loudly, the main concern right now is that what Trump is proposing is clearing the Gaza Strip, reducing it, what's left of it, quite frankly, to rubble, clearing it all out and rebuilding. And during that time, having to
clearing it of the people. Yeah. Ethnic cleansing is what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Move 2 million Palestinians to nearby Arab nations, which don't want to take them. And the main concern beyond that is, will it require U.S. troops on the ground? And what are the optics of U.S. troops on the ground ferrying civilians out of their country, out of their land? And, you know, the other thing is, how much would the U.S. be spending on this at a time when Trump is bound and determined to cut federal spending and have a America First policy? This seems to fly in the face of all of that.
Yeah.
So it's become quite a lightning rod. And one of the clear supporters of Donald Trump for quite some time, Senator Lindsey Graham, for example, has quietly stated the most vociferous outburst, slightly ironic here, slightly tongue-in-cheek for me, where he just calls it simply very problematic.
Very problematic. Well, as one wag I saw on social media said, amazing, no one else has thought to call dibs on the Holy Land before this. Linda Kenyon, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
More to come after a break. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.